Good morning. Thank you so much, Carter. Carter and I have been acquaintances for about the past 20 years, Carter, and then dear friends the last three or four years just walking through lots of peaks and valleys together. Carter's one of the people that sort of pushed me, helped me push out through my fear and leave a job of 20 years. And we often laughed, and maybe we shouldn't call it Landmark Journey Ministries, but call it a Reckless Journey Ministries. Because that's what this has felt like. But what I want to speak about to y'all today is about Jesus the hero, kind of in this series of Jesus. And I want to speak just about the heroic longing. I want to start there. And I just want you to tell you a little bit about myself as I talk about the heroic longing. I want to start with an embarrassing admission. It's embarrassing because I don't really hear a lot of people say this, so it's kind of like, you know, do you really say this? Well, I'm just going to say it. I've always wanted to be famous. Okay, I've got it out there now. Along with that, I've always wanted to be a hero. I've never known what to do with all that. It's sort of erupted out, you know, and along with that, a wanting to be noticed for doing something significant. I mean, that's all the same kind of language. It started when I was in my early 20s, and the first time I really remember this coming out, I wanted to be a recording artist, and I wrote the songs and got them recorded and sent them out, and you know, I wanted to just like sort of make the big splash. And well, as you can see, that didn't really happen. You can't find me on the iTunes store today, and I never became a musician at that point. But the longing didn't go away. So then that transferred into ministry. And I was really felt God call me into it. And I said at some level I was really doing this for God. But at another level, deeper down, there was something else going I never could figure out. It was that same longing to be famous. I would tell you, when I was a church planter, I would dream, this is just the truth, I would dream of being a part of a church of hundreds and thousands where people would come to listen to me. It sounds awful to say that as a minister, but honestly, that's what I felt. That was just in there. And I didn't know what to do with that. I wanted to be seen as someone great. And then the context shifted again, and I found myself teaching high school and coaching. And you know where this story's going now, don't you? The same stuff happened. You know, I wanted to be known as the teacher or the coach that athletes wanted to be coached by. I wanted to be someone special in their eyes. One more context change. I found myself, through a very strange series of circumstances, writing and becoming an author. And in the process of doing this, the same longing came out again. This time it was to be known, you know, and famous as an author. And I found myself wanting to copy other famous authors. And then I found myself being jealous of those who had achieved it as something that I desperately wanted and couldn't get. And I saw this pattern as I was writing. It just clicked. This has been with me for 30 years, and I still haven't found a way to manage it. Because what's underneath it is unmanageable. It's disturbing, it's disruptive, and no matter how I tried to push it out or submerge it or ask God to take it away, it never went away. And no matter how much I hooked it to some type of activity, it only led to disappointment and frustration. And now I want to use a word here. I want to do a language shift for you because I don't think this is a longing. I don't think this is even a yearning. When you get a toothache or a backache, life kind of stops and you attend to it. The longing to be heroic is an ache. We have to find some way to attend to it. But tragically, many attend to it very poorly, as I did. Are y'all tracking with me? I mean, this desire to be noticed, to do something significant, to be heroic. What in the world is all this? What do you do with the jealousy that you think others have and you don't have it? Where do we go with this? And what in the world does all this have to do with Jesus? That's where we're going this morning. Let me do another kind of just a few definitional things here. Let me just define hero informally and formally. First, informally, a hero, you know, you're young, somebody comes into your life, a parent or an older person, and they say, that person was my hero. You know, you probably even used language like that when you were younger. Maybe it was a famous musician or an athlete or whatever. And then we also use the word hero informally, not only just for a great mentor, a role model, but for somebody who actually rescues, somebody who actually does something in which they take somebody out of a fiery house or pull somebody out of a car accident. They become heroic because at that moment they risk their life. They put their own life in danger's sake. You'll notice that a hero here does something noteworthy, something that requires perseverance and courage and character. And the life of a hero is one that makes a difference by definition, a difference that's not just life-changing but long-lasting. For without the hero's intervention at whatever point, things would have gone awry. Things would have gone badly. But I want to move from an informal to a more formal definition. This is a literary category. The hero in literature. Well, pretty much the hero is the lead character of every story you've had read to you as a child, every story you've read as an adult, and every movie you've ever watched. The hero is the lead character. And in fact, the script, the plot, pretty much of every storyline, every screenplay, is what's generally known as the heroic journey. And here the hero sets out and feels they have to find something, accomplish something, become something. And that's a heroic journey, but along the way, there's all sorts of obstacles that block that, some of which are internal, some of which are external, and apparent defeats along the way. Things in which it would have been just easy just to give up, quit, let go. But the hero perseveres. And if the story is a happy ending and not a tragedy, the hero gets what he or she came about to do and becomes what he or she wanted to become. But the significance of the hero is not just the heroic journey. The significance of the hero is felt from the very beginning, because if there was no hero, there'd be no story. The fact that every story down to the ancient myths, as far as time immemorial that we can go, involves a heroic journey only goes to show how deep and piercing this ache is. It's in all of us. It's part of being human. Just a couple of modern day examples. One that's been out in the press recently. This is the longest running musical now in history, Les Miserables. And, you know, I read the book, went to the old movie version with Liam Neeson, was taken to the musical, live musical, and then went to see the screenplay production of the musical recently. And, you know, I'm always just amazed at Jean Valjean and just his heroic actions, his refusal to cave into evil, to take the shortcuts, to live for the good of others, down to the very end. I was amazed as I watched the movie version of the musical over Christmas. And I found myself, even though I know the story so well, I found myself just moved to tears again by this extraordinary greatness of this man. Take another story. This one is the fourth grossest in terms of sales, largest money-making movie in history, Titanic. You know, the Rose, who is the beautiful young woman, caught in an abusive relationship. She feels like she must marry this man to sort of save the fortunes of her own family because the man's very, very wealthy. But of course, she's despondent about it and almost becoming suicidal. She meets Jack, who convinces her not to take her life, and simply begins to love her for the woman that she is. And of course, you know, at the end, Titanic sinks, and he gets in the icy Atlantic and chooses to keep her up on a piece of wood so that she can survive. And he dies in the process. And Rose says at the end that he saved me in every way a young man could. It was heroic. You know, and that movie just simply stirred so many people at so many different levels because it showed the heroic journey so well. Now, I want to take a little leap here into this conclusion. I think the heroic journey is not a movie we watch. I don't think it's a story we read. I think art reflects life here. I think our lives are supposed to be heroic journeys. We're all supposed to move here and move into this. And this longing erupts out in both men and women. It's not just men alone. I mean, when you watch Titanic or Les Miserables or any number of movies or stories that you may read, I think the hope may be aroused, certainly as me as a man, that I can be that heroic to a woman, particularly Heidi, my wife. And perhaps as a woman watches that, she can have aroused in her this longing that maybe a man, hopefully my husband, will love me heroically this way. And whatever our disappointments are with the opposite sex, whether we're married or unmarried, I think it's important not to devalue or become cynical, as we often do, about this longing. Because the longing, in its purest form, is good and right and true. And I think it may even be holy, even if the reality falls so far short sometimes. But I don't want to leave out women here. I think also women also can and want to act heroically. You know, what woman doesn't want to do that for her children at times? To stand up for them, to rescue them. I think about what Fantine did in Les Miserables, taking on the life of a prostitute with all the degradation that went on with that, just so that she could send money to her daughter Cosette. So where does all this take us? It takes us right to Jesus. It really does. How? Well, like so many of our aches, Jesus doesn't dismiss them, criticize them, or scold us for them. He speaks into them and calls them out for a truer and higher purpose. And this is how he does it with the heroic longing. First, Jesus becomes the hero. Mark 10:45, which many say is a Jesus' most succinct description of his mission. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. There it is, the hero. And I want to say it this way. The reason why we love all the heroes we've ever read in stories or seen in movies, the reason why we are drawn to them is because they are a little echo of this man. Because when God became a man, he chose to inhabit all of those heroic myths and to enliven them and to ennoble them. He was a man who chose to give his life away, not just for the rescue of a woman or for a group of friends or even for a tribe or a nation. He chose to give his life away heroically for the life of the entire world. And he wasn't praised or lauded as most heroes are. He was mocked, degraded, and shamed, and died in the most brutal and humiliating way known at the time and probably known in history. He did the greatest act of heroism ever exhibited on any stage in history. Here is the hero of heroes. And look at the effect of this heroic act. Jesus said it himself, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." Here was the greatest heroic act that had the greatest impact in history. This one solitary life would have this kind of universal impact so that he would have the name which is above every name. The king above every king. Paul follows the same path in Philippians 2. And he quotes here an early church hymn. And there's the scripture there for you. First, he talks about the heroic death. Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. But rather made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And then look at the effect of this heroic act. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave them the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus doesn't dismiss the heroic longing. He lived it. In fact, we have a literary term now that we use. The Christ figure. Ever heard that? He is the hero from which all heroes are figurative representations. But I need to go one other place this morning. He doesn't stop there. What he does next is just stunning. He asks us to follow him. He asks us to go here with him. Mark 8:34, he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." And Jesus says, "Here's the deal. Here's what to do with that heroic longing. Come and follow me. Learn to die my way. Learn to live my way." He actually expects us to follow him in this venture. He was the great pioneer in the heroic venture, and he wants us to come along and be a part of this, following him in this. This is not just a story we read in a book. This is not just a movie we watch. This is our lives. This is your life. This is my life. We're all supposed to be on a heroic journey when we follow the Master. Paul puts it even more strongly. In Romans 8, he says this, "We were predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son." There it is, to be conformed to that likeness. He wants to be the firstborn and draw in many brethren that are going to be like him. We're to become copies of this greatest of men, images of this greatest of heroes. So how do you start? How do you take the first step here? What in the world does all that mean today when we walk out? Well, I'll tell you where I have to start. I have to start by getting really close to that hero, because it has to rub off onto me. I can't get it just by understanding it. I have to get it by feeling it. And that only happens when I get really, really close to him. Jesus stated this way, "As the Father has loved me, so as I've loved you. Now remain in my love." Stay there. Stay at home there. That's your home, in my love. So what does it mean for me? It means every morning I got to get up. I got to get close to him. I got to rub shoulders with him. I got to learn to receive his delight in me, that he longs for my company, that he enjoys my heart, and that what I choose to do with him every day deeply impacts him, that my deepest significance is right before him, that what I do and say during the day can either gladden him or wound him. That's my deepest impact. I got to get there and stay there. Some mornings I get there easier than others. This morning, I want to tell you, it was really, really hard for me. I woke up with what I call this low-level anxiety. I felt this many times. It's part of the old storyline I lived with for so long. The number of things that happened to me in my early adolescence, it was burned into me, this mantra, never, ever fail in front of other people. Ever. You will succeed. You will look good. You will never go through a shaming experience again in front of other people. And that was the way, that was the truth. That was my core truth I lived by for years. Whatever biblical terms or talk I wanted to put on top of that, that was not what I lived out of. I lived out of that. And I woke up this morning with that, because I was going to have to stand in front of a congregation and go, do I have anything worthwhile to say? Am I going to fail in front of all these people? And I had to struggle to push that all aside and go, Jesus, I choose you. And it didn't feel good for a long time. I had to press. It was a battle. So I say this to you because sometimes getting there is easy and sometimes it's hard. There's any number of things that are going to block this path. But let me tell you, that's part of the heroic journey. All these obstacles. But there's something else we must do to become heroic. It's not just getting close to the hero. We got to go somewhere with it. We got to follow him in some obedience. That's how we stay in his love. We start acting it out. And great heroism just starts wherever you are. It starts by just offering what you have to those around you in very little ways. And I think Jesus probably, again, sort of guided us here very, very well. In Mark 10, and the context is the disciples have been squabbling over who's going to be first, who's going to be next to Jesus, who's going to have the power position, who's going to be in the inner ring, you know, who's going to have sort of the control, all that. And they're sort of squabbling because James and John have sort of popped the question to Jesus, and they're all jealous, and you know how that thing goes. And Jesus just simply comes in and offers another way. And this is so instructive. Verse 42, he starts. He called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." You know how most people play this sort of greatness game. They get on top and they push everybody under them. That is not your heroic journey. You're going to do this one differently. Verse 43, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." I love this. Jesus doesn't say, it's wrong to be great. Don't be great. He says, if you want to be great, if you want to be heroic, here's how you do it. You become a servant. You take the lowest position, and then you find ways to honor the greatness of everybody else around you. That's how you become great. Then he states it again in stronger language of verse 44. "Whoever wants to be first must become the slave." You know, the ache for greatness, the ache for the hero is often comes out in us as we're going to be first, we're going to be on top, we're going to be the best. And often that means pushing everybody else around us down. And Jesus says, no. You go low and you bring everybody else up. You tell everybody else how great they are. You show that and you honor them. And then he offers a reason why all this must be so. And we're back to where we started in verse 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The heroic greatness of Jesus comes out because he so honored the greatness even in our fallenness. You see, we are so valuable to him and to the Father that we're worth dying for. We're so significant that the Father chooses to send the Son. The Son chooses to come to die. And we follow him in his steps here, first by simply asking the Father, show me the people around us. It's just right where you are, your spouse or your friends or your siblings, and moves out into your work associates or your relatives or your neighbors. And you just offer what you have, whether it's in voice or doing. You try to find ways to honor their greatness. My old boss and high school principal used to put it this way: ministry is only an arm's length away. It's so true. It's how this works. I want to finish today by telling you the story of an unlikely hero, very unlikely hero, just to show you how I think this works in real life. Her name was Myrtie Howell. She was born in the 1930s, born of a sharecropper. She was a poor black woman born in the South, very little education, got married early, had a couple of sons. One of them ended up dying, worked in the mill, worked odd jobs. Her husband ended up dying later on in life. She ended up in a nursing home in a wheelchair, so despondent and so depressed, she just said, "Lord, I'm ready to die. Take me. But if you have something else for me to do, I'll do it." And this is what she heard back: "Write to prisoners." She's like, "What? Write to prisoners." And immediately the objections came, right? I hardly have an education. I don't know any prisoners. But she was just a woman of faith and obedience, willing to offer whatever she had. And this is the letter that she wrote to the state penitentiary in Atlanta. Dear inmate, I am a grandmother who love and care for you, who are in a place you had not planned to be. My love and sympathy goes out to you. I'm willing to be a friend to you and correspondent. If you like to hear from me, write me, and I will answer every letter you write. A Christian friend, Grandmother Howell. And as the story goes, inmates started writing back. And then more and more, and it became hundreds all over the country. And when asked about her strategy, she said this, "When I get a letter, I read it. And when I answer it, I pray, Lord, you know what you want me to say. Now say it through me. And you'd be surprised at the letters he writes." Just love that. Listen to some of the phrases from some of these prisoners' letters. I just want you to listen. "Dear grandmother, was very happy to get your letter. The guys kidded me when they said I had a letter. I didn't believe them, but it was true. I don't have anyone to care about me but the Lord and you. I'm in the hole now. That's why I can write letters. Why am I so afraid, grandmother? Why doesn't my God answer my prayers about this? I'm really glad to know that there is someone out there who cares. I will remember you in my prayers every night, starting now and for the rest of my life. Please write back soon. Love, Joe. In the love of Jesus, David." This is a woman who discovered the secret of being the hero, of walking the heroic journey. She became a hero to so many prisoners, and she chose to do something that made her extraordinary. Here's the deal. This is open to all of us here. We can all become great. We can all become heroes. We can all become extraordinary. For the secret of heroic greatness, you know it now, is honoring the greatness in everybody else. It's the exact opposite of what we thought. That's how we become heroes. And only when you choose to enter into it will you begin to understand and feel that what you thought was upside down, the way Jesus said it, is right side up. And that we're the ones who had it upside down the whole time. And that's so much like the Master. He's turning it all around right, isn't he? I just want to lead you to finish today just through some quiet, guided prayer. And if you would just follow me for these few minutes, we'll close here. Jesus, we want to come to you with our confusion and our longing and our questions. And first, we just want to thank you that you're the great hero. Would you just take a minute and just thank him for that, that he is the great hero? And then just ask him to draw you closer to him this week. Ask him to do that. And then finally just ask the Lord, Jesus, is there something that you want me to do with this week? Just ask him and listen. And now, Lord Jesus, make your face shine upon us. Give us your peace and your strength that we may follow you where you lead us now. Amen.